You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
To Grind, the hardcore podcast. I'm Bob.
And I am Tom. And that's all we got.
That's all we got. It's okay. I kind of like a two-man booth on this one.
It's going to be, yeah. I mean, you know, it won't be like, you know, just someone going off on something. Pat's having this conversation that he would have had here in a van.
I know. Honestly.
With five other humans, probably.
Honestly, we should at some point jump in the van with Drug Church and just turn the microphone on. Because I feel like that group of humans has really, really funny conversations.
Do you think Pat sits like as far away from any other human in the band with like his headphones in?
Oh, man. You know, I don't, but I bet there's times that they wish that he did.
Like he doesn't drive, right?
No. You know what's really funny? And credit to Patrick on this. I believe he would drive when old band was in Europe, because he was like, I got to drive. Or when Hans or Andrew wasn't there, he would drive in Europe, mostly as a cost-saving measure. But no, he does not drive otherwise, to my knowledge. Credit to him for being a pretty active, participatory, easy-to-ride-with van dude. But I also have only done that with him, you know, 3 weeks or something. I would imagine Drug Church dudes who've done it for years and years and months during those years and years might feel differently. So
right, and that dude like leaves like a fucking couscous sandwich under your seat. You might not be that stoked on it.
Yeah, somehow his hygiene might have gotten worse. His road hygiene. That should be a whole. We'll do an episode on road hygiene, like van habits and the pros and cons of that. Might have to be partially Patreon, so we don't expose any people who are on the bad side of that
list. I was a full lunatic on tour.
Were you?
I mean, about being clean.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say I can picture that. I was gonna say
it's a little sloppy, man.
I couldn't see you being like you dealing with it being the worst. Like there's a certain threshold where I think is the break, because I feel the same. Like there's a certain line where I'm like, okay, it's messy, but this is fine. This is expectation, right? And then it crosses the line. I'm like, all right, we got to do something about this. Like, yo, grab this bag. Let's go. Come on. Let's get going.
Right. We had a lot of stuff in like the ditch between like the seats and the door.
Oh yeah. So, oh yeah.
We'd open up and it would just be like fucking garbage tornado.
There's a certain like nostalgia now for that, like a certain positive energy that I find for that.
You know what we used to do, which is really messed up, and then we can start the reads and everything. We used to like we'd stop at Sloatsburg all the time when we were driving up to like Albany
or
wherever, and like we'd get gas and all sort of stuff. So we would do two things: we would fill up our sodas on the way out, and then just throw them at the van. I'm like 30 yards out and I'm throwing a spiral of fucking coke at man, stupid. And when we used to clean out like the ditch, we put all the glass bottles on the roof, and Bago from the bass player from Indecision wouldn't really know all the time. So like we'd pull up at like, you know, like to pay like the toll, and you'd hear like brrr, like a fucking bowling alley, and be like just glass bottles shattering everywhere.
Hey, that was the rib. You're just returning the glass to nature. That's with it.
Exactly.
I like it. So speaking of that, Patch is not with us today. We'll try to add in some contrarian takes and some like weird.
Well, actually.
Political, but not political. And like, I don't even know about America anymore. I'm an Australian energy. So, before we do that though, thank you. And gratitude towards Run for Cover Records. Yeah. Thank you and gratitude towards Closed Casket Activities.
Okay.
Thank you and gratitude towards Convulse Records.
Dankeschön.
And thank you, gratitude towards To Live a Lie.
Obrigado.
We're going to start with Convulse Records, convulserecords.com. This is one that we don't have to get too crazy about because it's a band that, well, no, you know what? I'm going to pull back. The band Spine is a well-established band who I would hope a significant portion of our listenership has heard. But, yo, one, every episode, someone's first episode, welcome. Two, not everybody hears everything. Three, even people who hear a lot of things don't hear everything and got blind spots. Spine from Kansas City, releasing the new LP, Raices, on Convulse Records. Pre-order's up now. Got some options on it. It's very cool. This is actually a fun move because this is their third LP, first on Convulse. They had some previous releases with Bridge Nine, among other labels. And like classic early 80s US hardcore meets power violence. And
yeah, it's right on that line.
Yes. And we were talking about it before, and I'm like, you know, one of the things I find the most admirable about this band is that they're willing to blur lines sonically, sure, but more so in the idea of like, yeah, it's like a band that fits like a glove on Convulse. Just going to say it.
Sure.
Easily could fit on To Live a Lie, could easily fit on a lot of labels, but put records out on Bridge Nine, fits. But we're a little more on the punk, and like Bridge Nine hasn't put out a ton of what I would consider more traditional power violence stuff, but they did this Spine record and did a couple Spine records. So I think they ended up being an entry point for people who were maybe less familiar with the fast, fast hardcore side of things. And
I buy a Bridge Nine record just because it's a Bridge Nine record.
That's right. That's right. So
you're like, oh.
And also shout out Kansas City. I think Spine is the preeminent hardcore band from that area and has been for a long time. So shout out to them. If you've never heard it or you're a new listener, we had these fellas come on and do a live on Axe to Grind set.
They're alumni.
Alums, shout out. Yes. And I think it's great. So check that out. But more importantly, go out and check Raices and pre-order that at convulserecords.com.
Get that.
Shout out. We're going to swing over to Live a Lie. Toliveali.com. And this one's a hard one because it is nascently an ad read, but more so the man named Justin from the band No Comply, a close friend to Live a Lie, to Will over there, has been dealing with a medical thing, some very serious issues for a long time, and he passed this past week. So consider this less of an ad read and more of a condolences. Always sad. Hardcore is both bigger and smaller than you realize. Tom, I think doing this podcast has made us realize that in a weird way, more so than maybe we acknowledged before, that we would know, like, hey, there's tons of stuff, tons of people, tons of things we don't know. But then you start connecting the dots and all of a sudden this isn't even, you know, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, you know, separation.
No, you're like one or two. I mean, yeah, you're.
Yes, it's one or two. That's exactly right.
From like, everyone in hardcore.
From everyone. So that's why it's always tough when you hear about these things.
Yeah. Young guy.
Certainly. So as we do, unfortunately, too frequently. We're going to share our thoughts to anyone who was friends or family to Justin. Certainly thoughts with Will to Live a Lie. You know, no crassness intended here. No Comply discography was something to Live a Lie put together last year. Still pretty fresh. If you've never heard it, strongly encourage it. Really solid, fast hardcore. Again, kind of hitting that power violence vein, but also nodding at 80s hardcore. And even to be honest, there's some hints of some of the other kind of thread of stuff that was going through the Carolinas at that time too. So give that a shot. Give some thoughts and prayers to the family and friends, and, you know, respect. Thank you. Tolivealive.com. Check it out. All right. Tom, I usually go right to an exuberant, how you doing, how you feeling? But so let's, you know, we're dealing with more severe stuff. How are you doing? How's your weekend been?
It's been all right. Been busy, but it's been nice. I missed every festival because there were like 100 festivals. Like there were like so many festivals.
Everyone everywhere. Yeah.
Everyone everywhere. Play a festival. Teddy's Walls Down.
Yes.
Teddy's Place Down. I mean, there was one in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Hell in the Harbor, which, you know, a lot of bands that, like, we, you know, we've talked about have played that. There was Punk Rock Bowling. There was a Jason Fest in Atlantic City. I want to give a shout out to my buddy Christian. He pulled it off.
Yo, shout out. Congratulations.
I can't imagine the logistics that go into something like that. Like, when I go, like, man, booking a hardcore show is probably pretty tough. Then I go, man, booking Sound of Fury must be a fucking wild time because there's so much stuff. Then it's like booking a festival where there's like tens of thousands, 20s of thousands of people. And like, you're kind of responsible for all of them. It's crazy. And I think it's awesome. So
now, pulling it off. Huge shout out, co-sign on everything you said about that, because people don't understand scale and scalability. And the first thing I tell people when they go to do something bigger is like, oh, it's just scale. You do the same things. It's just on a larger level. That's not wrong. But I also want to admit that's also me just trying to be nice and not scare you with how much larger scope can be. If you knew how much time, effort, financial fortitude, and risk mitigation, and also crossing your fingers and rolling the dice that nothing terrible happens, goes into, one, a festival of this size, two, a festival of this size on the beach outside. My God.
It's so like, oh my God. And to think of like how many hundreds of people had to work, and like, you know, the weather gets shitty.
Yes.
I always think about you guys when the Have Heart thing that you did outside.
Yes.
That it was like you could see the thunder roll, like the storm rolling in the distance. And like,
we're
like,
Tom, I'm fairly sure our stress levels had you checking the weather every day for the weeks beforehand. You know what I mean?
Like, and then to be like, all right, there's going to be like a fucking lightning storm at like 5:30 or whatever the time it was. You're like, we got to wrap this up. We got like, but like the show was like, thank you, good night. And then it was like torrential downpour.
Oh yeah.
I couldn't imagine like having that, like, because legally there's certain things, it's like acts of God and all this sort of stuff that like you can probably get your insurance money back and all that sort of stuff. But I'm like, they're not like quick to part with their money. So if you're like, yeah, it rained a lot, they'd be like, that's cool, but like that you didn't have to cancel. You know what I mean? Or whatever. Like, it's probably such a fucking nightmare to fight with the insurance companies and whatever else to get this money back. But like, you know, to pull it off, to have the weather work out, all the bands show up, no one got hurt. You could watch the bands from the water, which would freak me out.
Yeah. I'm like low key really excited about that. But at the same time, it's a little weird. I wonder about moshing in sand. As somebody who's done a lot of stuff on the beach, moshing in sand is really tough. So credit
walking
to the people who tried.
Hard enough. That's how you crack an ankle.
Yeah, I know. The sand pit, a dust storm begins. The circle pitting gets too ferocious. So shout out. Obviously, if you've never heard our episode with Christian, dig it up. I don't remember the number, but it's out there. Maybe just Google it.
Last year or so, it was good. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was really good. And you can hear the straight edge hardcore kid from Long Island who put that whole thing together. And kid is a little, you know, straight edge hardcore former hardcore kid adult who put that together. Props, shout out to everybody who does big things like that. Shout out to everybody who went. Me and Tom were both kind of privately lamenting, one, that we weren't able to go, and two, this is a lot of counting for me today, folks. You're just gonna get a lot of it, sorry. that Atlantic City is just so damn far from everything outside of like Philly, you know.
Yeah, like from New York City, it's an actual, like, I could fly to Florida quicker.
Yeah, no question. No, you definitely can.
And there's like nothing direct, which is insane to me.
Yeah, no.
Like there's buses and whatnot. And also, just I was joking. I was like, we should have done some insider trading. I knew because I was with Christian when he like first started bringing this up. And he's like, it's going to be Memorial Day weekend. I should have gotten a goddamn hotel room.
Then,
as soon as he mentioned it, because I went and looked, there were hotel rooms down there that during the week and this coming week were like $105 that were like $600 and $700 this weekend.
Jesus.
So I should have just gotten in early and been like, you know, got a good deal. Not that I would have rented.
I went right there, Tom. I'm like, man, we could have made so much money. We'll get a block of rooms. It's like, we'll pay off our entire weekend. Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So shout out to anybody who watched Drug Church on the beach. Heard it looked pretty lit. So very exciting.
Shout out to whoever on Twitter said that Pat is the best. I think
Tim Robinson.
Yeah. Amazing.
I almost sent that to the chat, but I debated if it felt cruel.
It might have cracked.
Yeah, he's had some Joker moments recently. Guess what we got? Yeah, no, it's so good. Oh my God. We have questions and they are rolling in. This is live time questions. So would you like to dive into some AMA style questions for the podcast?
Fuck yeah. Pat is somewhere in the central time zone, just to explain why he's not here. He didn't die or anything, as much as we want to kill him sometimes. So this lunatic and his band played Saturday in Atlantic City, New Jersey. And their next show is in Denver, Colorado. On like Tuesday, I think, or Wednesday with Drain.
Yes, that's right. So it makes sense. Drain's starting this whole tour. They're driving from California out to Denver. Okay.
Oh, no. Well, Drain's gone up. Like they played.
Oh, that's right. They already did.
Weekend with Mind Force. They played in Vancouver. They just played Boise. All the shows looked insane.
Yeah.
So that makes sense for them. But now Drug Church are now like chugging across the country. So Pat, this morning, we had made plans to try to like tentatively record with Pat. Pat's like, we're not going to get into like 10:30 central time, but they've been driving since at least the last 36 hours.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're still in the central time zone, but I mean, I'm not going to,
time
zone is pretty narrow.
This is like mystical conversation. I had this conversation with friends I was with this whole weekend about like mountain time zone. It's like, it's so small. It's such a thin thing. So I'm glad it came up here. Yeah.
It's weird.
It almost doesn't need to exist. That's exactly right.
There could be three. Western, Central, Eastern. And that's it.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Because I wouldn't feel right calling the time zone in Denver Pacific necessarily.
No.
But Western is right. All right. So.
That's why Pat's not here. He's driving somewhere in a van and he can't. Yeah.
If we wanted to call him in, we could. But then he can only hear us a little bit. He's, we'll figure it out. He'll be back probably next week. In the meantime, if we let him, got some questions. This is a good one. I like where this started. This kicks us off kind of hot, but band you thought was overrated that you changed your mind on. So I'm going to start and give a few sets of answers because I think this gives you the right energy to also be honest with yourself. There's been a lot of bands I've thought were overrated and then won me over for a lot of reasons. Example, Ceremony. When I first heard Ceremony, it was their first 7-inch, which is, it's ruined, Malfunction Records. I thought it was all right. I think I had not seen them yet or had not seen them in the format or had seen like a little bit of a set. I was like, whatever, it's fine. And this is pretty good, kind of like sort of in the way of like the faster Bridge Nine stuff, Outbreak, Frantic, not quite like Power Violence, but leaning there, but more modern, post AN for sure, but then I saw them and their live show was better and crazier. And then Violence came out and I was like, even though I overall am not a huge fan of this style, this record has undeniable energy and now their live shows are outrageous. So, yeah, I thought they were overrated because some people were early on that train. You'll hear people who will tell you Duck Hunt, which Duck Hunt, like the classic Nintendo game, were awesome. They were kind of like this very hyper-local phenom thing. Local good hard high school hardcore band. There you go. Ceremony was a lot of people right away got in on it, especially in the Bay. It's big. It didn't take long for me to realize that they were not overrated, and they grew on me, and I was very impressed.
Okay. Good question. It's a tough question.
I know. Do you have any that come to mind?
Yeah, you know, akin to yours, sort of. But mm-hmm. I have two.
Yeah.
And I think it's better probably to keep it in like sort of the past tense.
Yeah.
People get weird. Trash talk.
Yeah.
I always thought it was cool, but like it was like the talk of everything. And I got that Walking Disease record.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was the first one, but like
that's
I feel
the
like
they second, were, but it's the first one that really caught people. Yeah, that's like the one that matters.
Yeah, and I thought, but that like kind of won me over, and seeing them live also kind of won me over.
Yeah,
just because it was fucking like it was a thing that not a lot of people were doing at the time.
Yeah,
it was, you know, it was like fucking No Justice, Blade Crasher, and Jace. You know what I mean? It, like just well, the there chaos was a, and the, Lee yeah, was the, jumping all over the place and.
Blatant disregard for human life kind of energy.
Exactly.
And you know, that's one thing. Those two bands, this is actually a fun way to talk about this. Trash Talk and Ceremony, they get compared a lot. Reasonable, both from Northern California, but not the same place. And by the way, Northern California is gigantic.
Yes.
Like, it's not as big as Texas, but it's pretty close. It's not right. really, but it's big. Like, to get from San Francisco to Oregon is like a 10-hour drive.
Right.
You know, like that's, it's massive.
Trash Talk as well, like Sacramento?
Sacramento. And you know, Ceremony is largely the outskirts of the Bay. So, but their live shows were kind of where the differences separated a lot to me, where Ceremony was high energy, really theatrical, really fun to watch, big emphasis on a really endearing and interesting live show, and the crowds would go absolutely bonkers, like losing their minds. Trash Talk had some of that, but I feel like there was more of this, like the frenetic energy from Ceremony always felt like it came from the audience to the band.
Right.
And Trash Talk, I think, was the inversion of that. And I think
they were aggressive, like assaulted.
They were right. And that kind of, it's sort of like that instigated the audience to that same kind of bad behavior, which is good.
Like a fever pitch, just because they're like, well, they're doing it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of, and then you add in the music and like as ferocious as it gets, both of them. So that's a good way to put it. I'm thinking now, Tom, of, okay, so bands I thought were overrated that I eventually changed my mind on. One of my favorite bands, actually, this is a good one, which will, by the way, if we ever do these episodes and Patrick's not here, we usually catch up and do it on a Patreon and have him answer these same questions, but it's fun. Into Another. When I first heard Into Another, I was 16 or 17, and I loved Into Another, and I loved Chain of Strength, and I loved Underdog, and I loved Crisp Sweatshirts, and I still do. And I love Stage Diving, and I still do, and I still love those bands, but Into Another was a bridge too far for me at that moment. Fast forward like 4 or 5 years, and I'm like, oh my God, I love this. Like, if you ask me, Bob, who do you like more, Into Another or Underdog? I have an Underdog tattoo, but I like Into Another more.
Really?
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
Which one? Now, who do I like more, Into Another? A lot of reasons. Which one's more important to me? That's a tougher question. Probably right. Underdog, right? Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. It's like,
but Into Another has got more albums and more songs, and like, you know, at my ripe old age is something I throw on a lot more frequently, despite the fact that if I'm like Underdog's something I can't put on in a car, or I'm gonna start driving aggressively. It's not a good scene. You know what I mean?
Right. Nobody wants to hear that shit.
What about you? Any classics that you can think of, like, where it's like, oh, this, when I first heard it, I was like, eh. Like, Fugazi's another one. It took me time on Fugazi. I eventually got there. Lungfish, I think. And you're not going to catch me on the Lungfish wagon like Patrick is. But I'm like, oh, there's some good songs. It's cool. But when I first heard it, I'm like, eh, this really doesn't do it for me.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm trying to think what I mean, to if I really want to get people mad at me.
Mm, start up.
Fucking Black Flag, man.
Oh, this is a fun one.
Because Rollins was like my introduction because it's fucking Rollins.
Yep.
And I was
a big deal already, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, by the time I was old enough to know who the fuck Black Flag was, Rollins was like Rollins band guy who was like on MTV and fucking, you know what I mean? He was like an icon. He still is, obviously. But like, I remember being like, I don't really love his stuff. But then when I heard, like, I went backwards and I was like, oh, I like all the other singers more.
Yeah, I think that's such an interesting thing. The hard part is explaining to someone under the age of 30 at this point how much of a conversation that was. Like, who is your favorite Black Flag singer? Really mattered, right?
What classic band had four singers?
That's right. Who all had recorded output that you could kind of, like, no pun intended, stick your flag in and say, yeah, I think this is the best material because XYZ. Who's your favorite? I know we've talked about this before, but
yeah, I think I go Chavo.
That's right.
Keith Morris is close, but I think I go Chavo.
Yeah.
Des is great too. Like, it's, I can, they're all like kind of like 1A, 1B, 1C, and then like Rollins is like fourth.
Yeah, I am a Rollins dude, but
and
I don't.
Are.
Yeah, right, exactly. And okay, here's the best part, man. If you ask me, do I think Rollins was the best studio Black Flag vocalist? I have to stop and really think about that, because I think my favorite Black Flag Rollins material is Who's Got the 10 and a Half, which is, for a few reasons, it's him live, so it's in the studio doing later air material, but he's growling, he's fierce, it's sharp, it sounds like a crazy punk record should.
Right.
I like Damaged. I'm willing to hear every argument that the other singers did better versions of many of the songs that ended up on Damaged, you know, in the first 4 years stuff, right?
Right.
But I think as far as studio recording output, like studio albums, he definitely has My War to hang his hat on. I think it's good. He's got moments on there for sure. But then the overall production value on anything later than, including Slip It In, to be honest, I think he flattens out a bit. And it might be an intentional choice. Whereas, like, you think about Chavo, you think about Dez, you think about Keith. Like, Keith's vocals on Nervous Breakdown are template American punk. You know, right? Like, like, they're snotty without the British inflection, right? There's no Cockney in that. And, man, it's so good. I can see it too. Black Flag, I bet there's a lot of people listening to this, Tom. There's some who are disagreeing. There's some who are vigorously nodding their head and saying, had the same experience, eventually got into it. And there's some who are going, yeah, I heard them, tried it once, tried it twice, three strikes, you're out.
Right. I mean, I think it's excuse me. I think it's, they're possibly overrated. Like, I feel like Minor Threat, could not be overrated.
Yeah.
Because I think they're so perfect that you can't overrate them. Like, Negative Approach, not overrated. Bad Brains, you can't overrate them because they change the game. I feel like Black Flag, it's like, if you listen to it, like, other bands, I mean, like, I would take groups, you know, Circle Jerks over any Black Flag record.
Right. No, I mean,
like, so it's like,
let's put the pin in this one. Remember this when we have Dave Ack on again, because that conversation is so good. Because I don't know. I think like the bands you named for the most part, you know, like Negative Approach, the studio output, flawless. Minor Threat, same. Bad Brains, largely same. Like, and if not, and I'm not going to say later records, whatever. Period, right. Yeah. There's a cutoff.
Like,
but, yeah. But we're talking about, you know, several albums worth where it's like, arguably, if someone wants to say, hey, not only is I Against I an excellent hardcore record, it sets the stage for groove influenced hardcore. It sets the stage for post hardcore. It sets the stage for groove metal. And it's could be considered the best of all those. I'd say, I'll hear it. Let's go. You know what I mean? Right? Like, that's an argument that's easy, that's possible to make. And those are studio output. Black Flag, is that why we've seen Black Flag kind of slink backwards in terms of like the need for them in the general punk, hardcore, et cetera conversation? I don't see a lot of Black Flag shirts at shows these days.
No, because I think this is probably going to seem like sacrilege.
No.
But they're almost on like, all right, I'm sorry for everyone in advance. Mm-hmm. Don't tell fucking Henry Garfield Rollins because he'll beat me up. I feel like at this point, Black Flag is like Misfits level poser shit. I love the Misfits.
And I know like you do. Flag. I know you
but
do.
I think it's like one of those things that's like my first punk band kind of shit.
Well, and you identified it, even if we don't want to, like, my first punk band hits, it also is, compared to a lot of things today, feels pretty quaint.
Right. You're either 16 or 57 wearing a Black Flag shirt. Never the twain shall meet.
Yeah. You have to have a pretty cool Black Flag shirt to be wearing in your adult age. Just to keep us consistent. Guess how many monthly listeners Black Flag has on Spotify?
Oh, man. 250,000.
Okay. Let me look at some of those. It's more than that. I'm just double checking something. Okay. They're at 462.
Okay.
How much? Yeah, that's pretty good. How about Minor Threat?
I bet you they're less. I'm going to say they're 350.
625.
All right, you see, that's why, because Ian's the man.
And is this proof in the tracks? Like, hey, Minor Threat has more tracks. It's just better.
Yeah, I mean, if you looked at like the totality of Minor, there's probably like four or five songs you're like, do I need this?
I think that's a great question, and it's again, put it to
connection? No,
put it to the Black Flag diehard is. Is Minor Threat better than Black Flag? Because I think that 5 out of 5 Minor Threat members would recoil at that question being asked, and be like, "Oh, like flustered," because of how important Black Flag was, right? You know. But track.
Iconography is just as important as the band.
No, I don't disagree. And my only argument is I think it's less relevant right now than it's been up to this point, but the stock is continuing to go down. Like, I don't know 25-year-olds. I don't know people in their 20s. I hardly know people who are in their young 30s, being 30 to 35, who went through a Black Flag phase, or Black Flag is the most important band period. And I'm sure they're out there.
That could be East Coast bias too, though.
It could be, but I lived out West and I saw that too. And
but even out there? Like on the beach?
I think it's aged out. I think it's just kind of like aged out a bit. Yeah, I just don't think, you know, like if you asked, like, were Black Flag a bigger band than The Descendants? Yeah, they were a bigger band than Descendants.
And Descendants had songs like joking how unpopular they were.
And if you go to the listening now, it's not even a question. Descendants are at 765. Like 765,000.
They deserve it to be 765 million.
but it's just, it's really a different place. So that led us to a really fun thing. If you haven't given Black Flag a chance, if you like punk or like mid-tempo stuff. If you like or are curious about some of the current wave of Oi, or, you know, like a little melody with your punk, a little punk with your melody, check out Nervous Breakdown and check out Jealous Again. If you like a little more meat and potatoes, straightforward, fast, I hope you've heard Damaged, but I'm guaranteeing there's someone who hasn't. Give it a try. If you're coming at it from the more aggressive, crazy person side and you like, okay, you like stuff that Youth Attacks put out, you like Rorschach, you like Dead Guy, you're going to lose some of the more technical aspects, but you're going to still see some of the musicianship. But I'd recommend you listen to Live 84 or Who's Got the 10 and a half, because the studio recordings for the later era Black Flag material are so of a time, and even from the time are singular, just kind of in their own space. Like, you have to get used to those recordings to be into them at all. Is that fair?
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I think if you like some, the more like Melvinsy, slower, heavier shit, like the later Black Flag stuff.
Yeah.
Is kind of where that all kind of stemmed from, I think.
Hell yeah. Okay. Great question, person who submitted that. We'll expand on that at a point later on too. Favorite Neverending Game tracks off the new LP? Tom, I haven't gotten a chance to listen to it yet. It's everywhere. People are loving it.
New record riffs.
Yeah.
They definitely took some different kind of paths, which I think are pretty great.
Yeah.
Which song did I like the best? I liked the sing, the song with Sam and Justice from TUI was great.
Mm.
I think Down Here With You and Going Through Some Things were my two favorites.
Oh, I like the name of that one, Going Through Some Things.
Yeah. Right. The Tank on E, which was like the hit, which was like a single, a little bit more melody in the vocals, which is cool. Yeah, I think they're a band like that you may not, you know, and the people that are folks that are listening, that they may not like heavier kind of hard, like mosh or hardcore.
Yeah.
They're a band that I think gets through that filter.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think, you know, like you, like I asked, you know, give it a shot, because I think there's a lot to it. There's the guitar playing is really great. Like the vocals is really good. Like drummer's great. Like there's a lot of stuff in there that's really kind of low key, you know, probably would be overlooked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think the record's really, really good. Really, really good. And it's like definitely a step up from their earlier stuff. And I like their earlier stuff too.
Yeah. But they're treading that line where they're heavy. They're hard. They might be harder than, no, they're both. They're heavy and hard. They might actually be hard over heavy, which leans to something like, if it's going to be in that world, I'm more apt to like something that's hard than heavy than something that's heavy than hard. If that makes any sort of word salad sense.
Yeah.
But I have noticed that, like, trying to like thread the needle with some melody too, which is interesting. I appreciate it. I think of them, they're on the heavier side. Like Life's Question is doing this, but they're doing more melody, you know?
Yeah.
And then Pain of Truth is just hitting you over the head with a hammer. So,
right. And there's somewhere in between, but I think like, even if you don't like this style, usually I would implore you to just give this record a shot.
Hell yeah. All right. What do we think of, and this is somebody who didn't give the form of a question, but we'll accept it.
Jeopardy rules.
What do you think of local bands who don't put on for their scene, but are popular nationally? It's tough. It's really tough.
I think it's kind of whack.
I really do. I think we've seen what putting on for a locality can do. It's sort of just because everyone's eating doesn't mean there's less food on my plate energy.
Of course. And I think, quite honestly, it's great that you're popular everywhere, but like, you can't treat your home scene like a tour date.
That's right.
And I know so many people, you know, across the board, across the country, that it's like, you know, we're playing one LA show this year, two LA shows this year, or we're going to play New York once, or we're going to do that. Like, rather than like, in my experience, like in a band, like when we were home, we'd play shows.
Yeah.
In New York. So it's like, oh, we're playing CB's 3 months in a row. I guess we're playing Seabees 3 months in a row.
Yeah, home games.
Oh, we're going to play Coney Island High in the meantime? Okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't like we don't want to burn it. Like, people don't get burned out. People love your band. People love your band. Like, they're going to come.
Okay, so let's dig out this, because this is a great thing. We can X's and O's. We can give some strategy to this. I believe you can burn out a place, but if you're conscious of it, you're not going to. Full stop. What Tom said.
Don't play monthly, but
yeah. Like, you don't, like,
you're as a headliner.
Yeah, that's right. Like, pick your spots. If you end up at CB's 3 months in a row, all right. But it all makes sense. There's a reason for it. Oh, we're going to play Coney Island. Oh, okay, cool. And that, you know, port that to the current time. Oh, we're playing, you know, wherever. We're going to play Brooklyn twice. And then, yeah, there's a show out in Long Island. Oh, we got to go play North Jersey at this big show. Okay. It all works. And you don't burn people out unless you know it. It's like, oh, we're going to play that same place three out of 5 weeks in a row. This summer, we're playing 12 shows locally.
Yeah.
That's where you hit the eject button and pull the parachute a little bit. But I think we, like, this is where hardcore can progress and show, like, the marks of a proper civilization, okay? Is learning from the mistakes and successes of those before you. And also, by the way, of your peers. So let's give credit to the local scenes that got stuff going on all across the country, but highlight our buddies up in the Hudson Valley. Tom, there's been a scene in the Hudson Valley for a long time. Small bands, sometimes shows would go off there for a little while. Sometimes they'd be a little dry, blah, 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 All Out Wars from there. They had a couple smaller labels. They had some bands from up there, Atlas Shrugged, etc. They had some stuff. And you know, you could name check a bunch more bands too, for sure. Not until Mind Force did you have kids on across the country, across the world, knowing what HVHC was.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or, are they going to say it? Yes, vegan and veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. You can get chef prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can go back to doing what you love this spring, maybe gardening. No fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. That is the type of meal I prefer. They're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. Now, I'd like you to head to factormeals.com/axetogrind50. That's numeral 50. And use code axetogrind50. That's numeral 50. To get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's insane. That's code axetogrind50 at factormeals.com/axetogrind50. That's to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Crazy.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't even know if, like, I don't know if All Out War even used that terminology.
No, they certainly, like, didn't.
No, but I think, you know, Hudson Valley's a place again, because you have the hometown band that is assigned to that. You know what I mean? Like, I think, like, Hudson Valley, like, Poughkeepsie and Newburgh and shit, like, when All Out War, like, was playing all the time, like, that was like a fucking destination to be able to play there. Like, it was. People came out to shows, like, well, like, and that's my whole thought, my thought process about, like, the, you know, bands, local bands that don't play their hometowns. It's like, they need you to build up, you know, like, being a touring band and being able to be like, all right, cool. Oh, shit. You know, when we go to, you know, Minneapolis, Harvest is playing. Like, Yeah. All right, so now you're guaranteed to have a good show. Oh, we're going to, oh shit, we're playing, you know, LA with fucking Carry On. Oh, that'll be good.
Yep.
Like
yep.
Every place needs a place like that. Like you need like kind of like a cornerstone, no pun intended, band. Like in your area to make your area pop. Like it can't be diluted. There needs to be band or two that's like, you know, we're lucky enough we have like Incendiary, but like they don't play a lot.
No, but
imagine they played New York 4 or 5 times a year.
Right.
Like how much that would help New York hardcore?
No, it's you're not wrong. And you know, like going backwards to it, part of the reason that you've seen like the Hudson Valley burgeoning more stuff is Mindforce decided they'd be the tent pole, but put on for bands like Age of Apocalypse. Put on for Soulblind, put on for these other bands, and there's smaller bands. And then there's a little label like Streets of Hate, who's not so little these days.
Right.
There's all these things that start to grow. And Mindforce didn't need to be the tree that sucked up all the air and light and room. Instead, it's like, yeah, we try to help stuff come up here. And then we go play shows. And so anyways, there's a consciousness to playing locally, supporting locally. So playing locally, you should have a threshold. Supporting locally, there's no upward limit. I'm not telling anybody.
How many times we go to a show? Yeah,
right. Yeah, I'm not telling people don't like put on for stuff from your area that's bad just because it's from your area. But if there's something young, there's something new, there's something that's trying something different, especially if you're in a smaller place, putting on for it is not going to hurt anyone. It's just the move. It's just worth the time. So hang on 1 second.
Sure.
Supporting local, there's no full end to that.
Yeah, I mean, I think like it's you know, we always talk about like knock loose. Like how many times have you heard stories? It's like, oh, they played like, you know, a fucking 17,000 person festival the night before. But then, you know, they're all at the show the next day in Louisville, like moshing for, you know, a band coming through. Like that's kind of why Louisville's a place. And that's why, you know, LDB Fest is doing thousands and thousands of people now.
Yeah.
They've kind of helped build that up. But I mean, I think if you're a hardcore band, maybe you don't play all the time. If you don't want to, you know, burn out your fan base or whatever, but like, there's no reason why you can't go and like watch shows. There's not.
No. And
life changes and all that sort of stuff, but you can still go.
And when there's something good, yo, post it on your Instagram, throw up a picture, throw up that you were streaming it, whatever it is. It goes long and you realize. You think so?
Here's my problem with it. I'm going to go off on one.
Go.
I think one of my main concerns with hardcore in 2023 is that it's very much the cool person club. And there could be something that fucking rips. That if the right person
or the
right band doesn't big it up, it goes nowhere. But then there's stuff that's not great.
Did they big up that goes?
But they big up and then it becomes
further than it should. Yeah.
So that's my only worry, is that's like kind of like.
Well, so here, yeah, that's the, okay. So here's where it goes. If the energy, and it's we're saying to local, look. I'm not telling people to decide that they're a tastemaker and do this. I think we've shouted out people who are always posting music. Yo,
yeah.
They rock. They rock. They're doing it right. Bands, be legitimate about it. If it's a homie, I get it. You want to share your friends.
Of course.
And if you hear something good, you don't have to not post it just because you don't know the folks in it or they haven't passed the smell test, the cool kid test, you know? I think that's one of the reasons doing this podcast is fulfilling, is when we notice something that's good or that we like based purely on, I don't know these people from Adam, don't care, good song, cool. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's what should count. That helps this all move the right way. That helps new things hit radar, honestly. So do the support like that. Don't be stingy about it when you hear something that's worth the time. And then give it to the thing that is just nepotism, right? Like,
yeah,
nepo hardcore is not where any of us want to be. Full stop.
But it's definitely a thing.
Okay. All right. What new bands do you want to see that you haven't been able to see yet?
Nick, our buddy at NMZ, put out a single for this band Stateside from California that I'd be into seeing.
I saw a lot of talk about that record, like the last
I mean, it's the name is a nod to Crime and Stereo.
Good Lord World.
So
so that gives you a direction of it, right?
That's it, gives you the vibes. Yeah, really, really good. Really good, like melodic hardcore, poppy hardcore. I think it's excellent. I'd like to see it in live.
All right, new band I have not seen. Brain Tourniquet. They're not even that new. I just haven't been able to see them. I went to, I think I talked about this maybe even vaguely. I tried to go see them and Warn play in New York City. I'd seen the flyer, put it like, did a screenshot. I was like, cool, which is, I guess, the equivalent of snagging a flyer at like a record store these days. It's like, cool, gonna go up to the city. I'll do it. Take a day, do it, go up a little early. Tom, I got up to the city. I was like, you know what? I should double check and make sure everything's still aces for this show because I haven't heard anything about it. And I look, and it was like a few days before. Like, unfortunately, the show's been canceled. And I was like,
oh, no.
So Brain Tourniquet is my answer for that.
All right.
I have seen a bunch of good bands recently, so I'm happy about that. Best New Jersey beach. Okay. Tom, you go first.
I mean, I only know so many, but I'm going to go Ocean Grove.
Ocean Grove's a fantastic answer. Very good beach. In the running for my favorite Monmouth County beach, which goes to Ocean Grove, Avon by the Sea. Avon's got this nice little like L, and both are part of the very long Monmouth County like boardwalk zone that runs from like Spring Lake to Asbury. That's one of my favorite things in the world is walking on that thing. My vote goes to Bayhead and Mantaloking. Both of them. Bayhead, a little smaller, but nice beaches, nice water. Mantaloking, little wider beach, but less people. But the beach badges are outrageously expensive now.
They're insane everywhere.
They used to be like
at $50 a season or something.
Mantaloking was like $20. Because it was like nobody, it was just like, oh yeah, you know, like there's no amenities, no lifeguards, no parking lot. So it's street parking only. You have to walk over.
So it's legit just locals.
Legit just locals. It still is, but they've just hiked it's now like $120 for the season.
Holy crap.
Gnarly. So, but those are the ones for me. Support your local beaches. When Tom finally snaps and kills Pat, will it be Patreon exclusive?
Yes.
Yeah, most assuredly. Go check it out.
Yeah, don't rat me out. When it does happen, like, I'm doing this for y'all.
Yeah, come on, Chris from Vermont. Going to Tied Down Fest. Unfortunately, no. Tried very hard. Patrick will be there. So hit him with all of your Axe to Grind related questions. He will look at you blankly and go, in a like nice way. But then kind of give you a weird answer that doesn't answer anything you said.
Right. Like a vacant behind the eyes answer.
Yeah. Yeah. Pleasant. Certainly being
very nice. But it just kind of like,
You know, sometimes cereal is tasty and sometimes it's like water under the bridge, you know?
Right. And then he'll walk off because like, I got to go find breakfast potatoes in a bathroom.
Yeah. Please, everybody, have a great time at Tie Down Fest this
week. I'm bummed I'm not going to be there.
Same.
The lineup's great. I've been to Detroit in a grip, probably 20 years.
Yo, fun fact, I've never been to Detroit, which is really weird for me. So I really want to go.
Wild. I played St. Andrews Hall right after like the Eminem movie came out.
Oh, hell yeah.
So our show wasn't nearly as cool as his rap battles, but not as many people. But it was fun.
Are there any good hardcore bands that don't have standalone singers? This is a question that comes up. Hardcore bands that didn't have standalone singers.
Regional Justice Center.
Oh yeah, Regional Justice Center.
Iron Lung.
So yeah, you get some bands that had the
Phil Collins drummer style.
Yeah, Phil Collins singing kind of thing. You also get, when you lean the more punk or street punk, you start to get some answers in here. I could say stuff like Tragedy.
His Hero's Gone. All of those bands.
Ashes Rise. Right? Yeah, Born Dead Icons. Then I go even more punk. No Hope for the Kids. Man, No Hope for the Kids are really good. Yeah, hardcore bands, less so because so much of the live show is having someone up front, you know, making angry faces and hopefully being endearing doing so. So
I mean, think who else? Like a hardcore Biohazard.
Okay.
They were a 4-piece.
Yep.
I mean, think of the difference that Code Orange made with Jamie moving from my
right. Kit. Yep.
But they did it for a long time.
Were there any? I'm trying to think of 90s bands that had that.
We think of Propaganda. We consider them hardcore.
But you can include. They're more on the punk side.
They're punk.
Gray Area. That's more on the punk side, right?
True. And Ernie played guitar and sang. But like an actual like
Cold hardcore. Yeah. Mm.
Jeff played. I don't remember if he sang.
I think he, there was some standalone singer time for them as well. It is tough. It is really tough to go.
I saw the Iceman.
Oh,
as a 3-piece after Carl the Mosher.
Okay, so there's
three of them.
There are examples of it. I'm trying to think of. There was. Quicksand, more in the post-hardcore world, but, you know, most of the time, almost all of the time. So fun fact is that Quicksand, Walter sang, didn't play guitar for, I think, the first 3 or so shows. And I was like, nuts to this.
Like, real weird.
Yeah, nuts to this. Give me the guitar. It's always a fun question. This is a hard one. If you have a great answer of a capital H hardcore band, not metal, not punk, not pop punk, not, you know, like not oi, like, oh, tons of oi bands that do that.
Most.
Yeah. It is most. But if you think of a capital H hardcore fastball pitch hardcore band that does it, hit us up, because that's a tough question to go for.
That is very difficult.
All right. Do you think Youth Crew will ever come back into the forefront of hardcore? I think there's a short answer. What's the short answer, Tom?
Probably not.
Yeah. And the long answer
it's never going to go away.
Well, yes, it's never going to go away. Right now we're at a, what's the more severe? There's the endangered species list. I think there's one that's like a more severe version of that. I'm actually going to look that up. And I think it's on that. My short answer is probably no. It is a threatened species right now. it is a threatened species, but it is, the long answer is, it's certainly possible. It just needs some very passionate, at least a little bit talented and highly dynamic and motivated people to do something like that.
And across the, my buddy's band Time Heist is doing that in Denver. It's just Denver. Like, there's got, like, for it to like really kind of take over hardcore. Remember, there was a time that it was the thing.
Oh yeah.
But there were bands all over the country.
That's right. It became like in the late 90s, there was almost a movement of the revival of it. And
right. Which
you had some good bands, you had some okay bands, and you had some bad bands. But I'll throw in, there were some great bands from that. And the great bands influenced there to be like a multiple waves of it. So the long answer is probably not, could happen, but I'm not holding my breath. And you know what? Could be good to see. Sometimes you see some good innovation in that world. I think what, you know, for example, Floor Punch is like this defining band when people think about like youth crew, quote unquote, youth crew style hardcore.
And they're not.
They're not. Youth of Today, there's some Youth of Today in that DNA, no question. You know, like those dudes all love Youth of Today. Some of those dudes love Bold. They all love Judge. There's some fandom across for a lot of the straighter stuff. But Floor Punch sonically is a New York hardcore band. You know what I mean? There's as much breakdown in that DNA as Youth of Today. There's some more straight ahead in that DNA than there is Wide Awake, you know? So yeah, you know, and they sort of brought an innovation to the style that that was felt and is felt still now, you know, 20 something years later. So shout out to them. Halfway point of 2023, favorite hardcore and non-hardcore music release. Oh, this is a tough one for me. Tom, do you have a favorite hardcore release of 2023 already?
Jeez.
I know.
I'm probably going to go Incendiary.
Uh-huh.
For hardcore. What the hell have I been listening to
non-hardcore? The Gel Only Constants, High for me.
That's true, too.
The new Enforced LP is very high for me. Yeah. I really like it more. To be honest though, I feel I'm not dissing. It's hardcore ish, but that's metal, man. They're killing it.
Yeah. The Judiciary record's great. Mm-hmm. For non hardcore, I like the new National record.
Oh, interesting.
Are you big on
the National?
Big on the National. Very. Okay. I'm a yuppie when it comes to the National.
Yeah, I should have thought of you for something. There was a call for National fans to do a thing. I'm trying to think what else I've been really. It's been an interesting year for hardcore.
It's been great.
Yeah, there's stuff. There's a lot of stuff that's been very good that I'm like, oh, this is good, but I haven't been totally sucked into anything like all the way.
I'm also terrible at like.
Oh, there dates. We go. Yeah, yeah, right. So there's
quite stuff. Honestly, like, I listen to blah, blah, blah. And they're like, yeah, it came out in 2022. I'm like, oh, like I'm really bad at kind of keeping track of stuff. The Scowl EP, I really dig.
Yeah, you know what? Scowl's EP has parts that I think about even having not listened to it in a while. Like it's just
that catchy. Opening night song is a fucking hit.
Mm-hmm. Yep. This band Existence, who just put out an LP on Quality Control. I think it's awesome. Metallic hardcore. It's hardcore, but lots of metal in there. I think people would like that. I think and Quality Control just did something else. I like the Fairy Tale LP. I like what's the other?
I like Boy Genius, the Boy Genius record. Sorry.
No,
not hardcore.
Yeah. All right. This person's break testing us, and I just got coffee all over my shirt. So I'm gonna have to do some more homework. Any submissions for Milo Joins the Clan? Yes. Yes, there were. Some were really good.
I mean, yeah, pretty straightforward. Someone's like, "You gonna post him?" I'm like, "Absolutely not."
Yeah. No. That's a different. That's a non-existent Patreon layer, but a tier. But thank you to the submissions.
Yeah, if you want to go to Worst Possible Timelines Patreon, we could probably talk Eric into posting them.
Yeah, he's just going to recreate them, actually. What Patreon tier gets us access to the group text with all the spicy stuff? Work on it. We'll work on it. We've actually talked about doing something. I had a post-pro where we'll talk about it, but maybe let's put that in the coming soon, okay? Something like that.
Sure.
Also, as a Tennessee resident, Pat's pronunciation of Murfreesboro, I'm butchering it, Murfreesboro, was the worst. Not wrong. I just butchered it just as poorly.
Isn't it Murfreesboro? Like Murphy's, but with an R?
I thought it was Murfreesboro. Well, here we are. So sorry to.
We're like the kids that used to be like, you like infest? What about I used to someone like you like Asuk? I'm like, the fuck is Asuk? I'm like, it's ass suck.
Yeah, I know. Ass suck.
Asuk.
Always was ass suck to me. Come on.
But people were like, I knew like, oh man, I love Infest. I'm like, I don't know who that. Oh, Infest.
Yeah, I know.
Fucking weirdo. Murfreesboro.
He did. So we're putting respect on his name. He did pronounce Kanajihari the way, according to one listener who apparently is from there originally, said he got it as close as the locals do. So that's good.
All right.
This is a great one. And Tom, I'm letting you answer this completely.
Oh, boy.
What is deathcore? I'm over 40.
Well, welcome to the club. You don't like it. Unless you grew up with like Slipknot, you don't like it. And you go, how is this a core? This is not hardcore. Yeah. This is sort of like death metal. It's like everything's like very tuned down. And very few of those bands like know of hardcore. There are a few that are hardcore,
The
Acacia Strains and the Knock Looses of the world are all hardcore kids that are playing this. But like for the most part, deathcore, what happened? And Jesus Peace. Is that deathcore? It's
they're close. Tuned down. They're close,
it's very heavy. There's fast parts, but it's not hardcore fast. And it's moshy. But like if you moshed to Say It to My Face, you're going to be like, what the fuck am I doing here?
Yeah. You nailed it.
Deathcore. It makes Harvest and like Disembodied sound like youth group bands.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So deathcore is a music that is influenced more by death metal than hardcore. The core
like
part of it.
Slam music.
Yes. It's. I mean, I didn't
even know what that was until like a couple years ago. Like, right. It's like slam metal.
Which is funny because like, I'm sure if you had wanted, you could have been at some classic internal bleeding shows, you know? I did not know slam metal either till well after deathcore was a thing. So there's thudding, there's heavy bass, it gets grinding, it's definitely death metal-y, but slows down to more time. Yeah, the tuning is so low, and the hardcore part is in breakdowns. So that's where they structurally pull it in as a, you know, core. If you are, like Tom said, a more traditionalist, it's probably not.
Not even traditionalist. If like metalcore was your thing, you'd be like 90s right. metalcore, you'd be like, this might be a step too far. Or you might love it.
So we named a few bands, give a sampling, and the person who submitted that question, love to hear what you think of it after hearing some of it.
The bands that we named, you'd actually like, they're the
that's the closest line. Thing. If you're going to like this, that's where you probably
you'll find like Knocked Loose, you'll like Jesus Peace, you'll like Acacia Strain.
Yeah. We're going to wrap it up here with this question, and then we're going to do a part two because we got a ton of great questions. Goat Fruit. Shout out to Tommy from Broken Vow, Anxious, Occasional Restraining Order fill-in. He's goated. Goat fruit.
He goats everything.
Yeah. What is the greatest fruit? What is the best fruit?
Oh, that's tough. My answer is gonna like be boring.
Well, come on, give it to me. Apple?
I love grape.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Nice grape. Seedless grape.
Crispy? Like crisp, nice, not like soft.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I don't like soft. Like it's been in the fridge too long. No good.
Nobody likes soft.
I like
grape. Oh yeah. Good answer. What do you think of cotton candy grapes, though? Pro or con?
I like them. It's a little too much. A little too sweet sometimes.
I think you summarized it for me completely. I had one. I was like, oh, that's neat. Didn't have them. Then I think my mom bought a bunch, and she's like, here, you should take some grapes home. So I had a couple. I'm like, it's too much. It's too sweet.
Right. Like, it's a few.
Yeah. But, like, I'm not.
Then you're eating runts at that point. Like, just eat candy. Then what are you doing?
My answer is either watermelon or strawberries. A big fan of both.
My favorite fruit drink is blood orange Pellegrino.
Ooh, blood orange Pellegrino is the goated Pellegrino flavor.
Blood orange anything is
really good.
C'est bon.
C'est bon.
Magnifique.